Let us turn in God's Word to Job, that portion of Scripture that we read, Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And with God's Word there open before us, let us briefly again pray. Our Father, our gracious and mighty God, we thank Thee that Thou dost speak, that Thy word goes forth to Thy people for their edification and their encouragement. We bless Thee that Thou dost minister grace to the church through the Scriptures read and proclaimed. And now, Lord, as we turn to the text of the Word, grant us the Holy Spirit's presence, His power, His inworking in our hearts, and His blessing upon our poor, needy souls. So bless the flock, Lord, and glorify and magnify Thy great and holy name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Job chapter 23, and I want to leave with you this morning the words that are found in verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Now, in the midst of his dialogue with his friends, Job here is telling them, and thus he's telling us, what God has done to him. We all know that poor Job went through a lot. We all know that he experienced many, many sorrows, as we all do. Storms come to us all in life. And Job was the one who seemed to have these storms in abundance. And these storms affected his home, came into his house, he lost his family, it affected his holdings, his property, his belongings, his animals, his livestock, all taken away. It affected his health, because we read that he was covered with sores and boils throughout his whole body. So he was brought really, really low in all of these things. But here in our text, he is telling us it affected his heart. His heart. For he says, God maketh my heart soft. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. It reached down into his soul. It reached down into his inner life, into his feelings, into his emotions. And it made him a broken man. That's what he means. His outward troubles wrought an inward transformation. It's like water in the vessel. It pours in and it gets within. And Job is saying that it made him to be a broken man. And how he describes it is, his heart was made soft. It became tender. It became contrite, broken. We could say God gave him the melted heart. He had a melted heart. And God was the one who melted it. Now, Job is a type of Christ in so many ways. And this is one of the ways in which he typifies the Lord Jesus, by having this soft heart. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had his heart made soft by affliction and by troubles. He suffered. Christ suffered and it entered into his heart. The righteous one, just as Job was the righteous one, but he still had sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the righteous one who had no sin. And he was brought into the darkness. The darkness wasn't cut off from him, just like it wasn't cut off from Job. He was brought into the darkness. He was brought into the storm. The light of the world himself entered into the darkness. And he who is the comforter and the consoler of all his people stepped into the storm of indescribable pain and agony that we know he suffered throughout his life and upon the cross. You remember how to his friends the Lord Jesus said, "My soul, in here, deep within me, in my heart, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And he said, "Tarry with me. Pray with me. Watch with me. My soul is going through this sorrow." He experienced the grief of Gethsemane, being in an agony. Deep within, it comes out, and it came out in the form of sweat. Sweat that was most unusual, because it was red sweat. Blood was breaking through the pores and mingling with the moisture, and great drops of blood, as it were, falling onto the dust and into the dirt, mingling with his tears. "My soul is sore troubled," he said. "My soul is sore troubled, and what shall I say?" He hardly knew what to say. "Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." So he knew these troubles were necessary. "I came for this agony. I came for this gloom and pain, for the melting of my heart." And that's why he came into the world, for that hour, for that brokenness, that suffering, that agony, that melted heart. And that's what's happening to the Lord Jesus. His heart is melting. You know, on the cross, he experienced the torment and the torture of the tree. He experienced the cruelty of the cross. And there, suspended between heaven and earth, upon the stake, the painful stake, the shameful stake, the barbarous tree, impaled upon it in agony and pain, he said, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." So the Lord Jesus went through this. Christ experienced this. The soft heart, the melted heart. Just like Job. But there is this difference. And it is a vast and great and notable difference. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ suffered the melting times and the soft heart, it was not for his sanctification. It was not to make him holy. The softening of his heart was not for his increase in godliness, but the softening of his heart was for our salvation. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded and bruised for our iniquities. He was softened in his heart to save us. Softened for our salvation. Softened for our sanctification. Melted for our magnification in glory. And that was the reason for the softening of our Lord's heart. And we have a blessed Savior who loved us unto the end, with a soft, melted heart. And he went through the fire and the furnace for the forgiveness of all our sins. And we bless his wonderful and his worthy name this morning. But Job is different, as are we. We are brought to experience the soft heart, not for the salvation of others, and not for our salvation. But Job is made to experience this for his sanctification, for his being conformed unto the likeness of Christ, for his becoming more Christ-like. Even though he is a righteous man, even though he is the most godly man on the earth, he is not perfect. And God is working in him still, making him to have conformity to Christ. And congregation, there is no conformity to Christ without suffering. What the Lord does to Job's heart, in a greater or lesser degree, he does to the heart of all his people. All God's people at times will be able to say, God maketh my heart soft. God does that. You see, the hard heart is adverse to God. The hard heart is contrary to God. God does not will a stony heart in his people, but he wills in them a soft heart. And he brings it about too. And that's what we want to speak about this morning. We just have 2 points. The first thing is that this is a good work. A good work. When Job says, God maketh my heart soft, he's saying it's a good work. Because God only does good things. And that's why God brings us through it. Because it's a good work. God does not want his people to be like Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not have a soft heart. Pharaoh is not among the saints. Pharaoh has no love for Israel's God. He has no fellowship with Israel, the people of God. He has no love for the Lord. He has no faith, no repentance. He has not the experience of salvation and no experience of sanctification. He has not only a hard heart, but a heart that's getting harder. Getting harder. You know, he did undergo hard work, but it wasn't like Job, even though he suffered quite a bit, but it wasn't like Job. 18 times at least I counted about the work that's going on in Pharaoh's heart. 18 times at least it says his heart was hardened. Plague after plague, word from God after word from God, his heart was hardened. Sometimes it says he hardened his own heart. Sometimes it says God hardened his heart. He was making Pharaoh's heart hard. Not soft. He was cursed. He was damned. And you don't want to be a cursed sinner whose heart is getting harder and harder. You don't want to get an increasingly hard heart. That's not good. As you grow old, to get harder and harder. That's not God's will for his people. That's not how he brings his people to glory, by making them to have harder and harder hearts. No, as they get older, he brings them to glory by making their hearts softer and softer. That's the divine work. So God forbid that any of us should be like Pharaoh. God forbid that any of us should want Pharaoh as our model. No, brethren and sisters, Job and Jesus are our models in having hearts made soft in grace. It is said of our Savior, it is one of those mysterious verses that we turn and think upon and we still can't fathom the meaning of it. But it is said of the Lord Jesus that though he were a son, a blessed son, a beloved son, a son in whom there was no blemish, a son in whom the Father was well pleased, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things which he suffered. By the things which he suffered. And so if the sinless one learned this way through suffering, then we sinners, we must learn the same way through sufferings, and we must have the Lord to make our hearts soft. So it's a good work, the Lord making our hearts soft. It's His will. That beautiful psalm that we sung, Psalm 95. You know, that psalm has always been the bread and butter of the Church of Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the Christian assemblies always sung it. Psalm 95 especially. And still in many churches throughout the world, this psalm is sung regularly. It has been carried on from ancient tradition. And it's a wonderful psalm. It's pleasant praise. It's telling us how great God is and how He's to be praised and how He made all things. You will notice that the tone changes towards the middle, or just beyond the middle and towards the end. And it changes from that pleasant, sweet sound of praise to earnest entreaty and solemn warning. And the apostle to the Hebrews, you will recall, he takes up that psalm and he repeats several times that warning. Today, if you His voice will hear, harden not your hearts. God doesn't want the hard heart. God won't have the hard heart in His people. And so, child of God, not the hard heart, but the soft heart is God's will for us. The hard heart is Pharaoh's, but the soft heart is Christ's and His body, the church. You see, the hard heart is unmerciful. The hard heart is unkind. The hard heart is unforgiving. The hard heart is unheeding. Remember how the Bible says, God says, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Why? So that they would not hear the words of the Lord. They hardened their hearts so they wouldn't hear the words of the Lord. God forbid that any of us should come into the house of God with a heart like that. And the preaching and the sermons do us no good. They go unheeded and they do not enter us because of the hardness of our hearts. The hard heart is the impenitent heart. Remember how Paul said, thy hardness and impenitent heart. They go together. The hard heart is the unchanging heart, the stubborn heart. But most of all, and this should have weight with us if we love Jesus Christ, the hard heart is unchristlike. It's unchristlike. Because Jesus always had a soft heart. He beheld the city and wept over it. Jesus wept. Never forget, child of God, the dangers of a hard heart. You see, God's people are capable of having a stony heart. You remember the 11. Judas is away now. He's dead. He's took away his own life. But you remember the 11 who had been so long with Jesus. The 11 who had heard all His sermons, all His entreaties. The 11 who had watched His tears. The 11 who had seen how He suffered and what He endured and went through. Who tasted of His grace. The 11 who witnessed all His works of kindness. You remember how they, after the resurrection, when they were all sitting together eating their dinner, and the Lord suddenly appeared. And you know what it says? He upbraided them for the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. The 11 of them. And Jesus upbraids our hardness. And He won't have it. And he makes our hearts soft. And he comes to us this morning as he came to the apostles then on another occasion when he did. He says, have you your hearts yet hardened? Are they still hard? Are you still unforgiving? Are you still unheeding? Are you still unchanging? How long will you continue thus? Not melted yet. Not softened yet. Job's not in that state. Not anymore anyway. God maketh my heart soft. So it's a good work, a good and necessary work. And the second point, and the final point, is that it is God's work. God's work. God maketh my heart soft. Seeing it is good, he does it. Seeing he wants it in his people, he carries it out. He engages them. He himself, by his own hand, makes them a softened people. God does it. It is well that he does, because no one else can do it. We can't do it ourselves. And man can't do it. An angel can't do it. Only the Lord can do it. Only God can make a human hard heart soft in the way that it was made soft in Job. He is the only one who has the loving will and the loving patience to do it. He is the only one who has the wisdom, and most of all, he is the only one who has the power. Only God can give us the heart of flesh. That's why Job adds, God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty, the Omnipotent One, the one who has the power to do it, he troubleth me. This is a troubling in grace, you know. So only God can do this. It's a hard and difficult work, making the human heart soft and tender. You see, the human heart naturally tends to be hard and to harden more and more. And we would all be like Pharaoh when troubles came and plagues came and pestilence came. We'd all be like Pharaoh, not battered by them, but worsened through them. We'd all be like Pharaoh unless the Lord worked. Troubles would make us bitter and resentful. And so whenever Job talks about a soft heart, he's not meaning just a broken, troubled heart filled with resentment and bitterness and, you know, ingratitude and hatred. He's not meaning that. He's not meaning Pharaoh's heart. He is meaning a heart like Christ. And congregation, only the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ can give us such a heart. That's what I'm saying. And so the Lord alone can take away the stony hearts of his saints and give them hearts of flesh, tender hearts, humble hearts, gentle hearts, Christ-like hearts. And for this softening, this melting to take place in our sanctification, the refiner's fire is required. The fire of God. The flame of the Most High. To melt the hard heart to become soft and tender. And the divine refiner must work in us and with us. And our Saviour does this by his Holy Spirit, who is the fire of God working in the hearts of his people. So the Comforter, the Divine Consoler, the Holy Spirit, works this. Now, God, in order to bring this melting and softening to his people, he brings to them, by his Spirit, two things. I say by his Spirit because the Lord says, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. The Spirit accomplishes this. But he does so by means. And there are two fires that are necessary to soften the hearts of God's people in the Spirit's hand. The fire of Scripture and the fire of suffering. Now, the fire of Scripture, first of all, we're not to think that Job is just suffering fire of trouble and there's no word. We're not to think that. We're not to think that Job has no communications from the Almighty and that somehow there's not a word of God accompanying these sufferings. Now, I don't suppose that Job had Scripture as we do because he's one of the earliest believers. He's probably the time of Abraham, maybe shortly after it. He hasn't a Bible. But we are sure that he is a man who has communications from God, somehow, revelations. Maybe there is Scripture in those times, from Adam and others. Maybe he has access to written forms of the Word of God. We don't know. But we are sure of this, he has words from God. He has truth received in his mind and heart from the Lord. And we are sure that in his sufferings he had faith. And we know there is no faith without promise. Without a promise from God, there can be no faith. There can be no faith without a word from heaven. A word from the Lord. So we are sure that Job has the word of God. Accompany these sufferings somehow. God's promises. Faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the word of God. There's no true faith without a word from God. So while he might not have the 66 books, that's certainly true, he does have some words from God. In this very chapter, he tells us what God's word means to him. Verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. He's a man who hears God. He's a man who has a word from God. In fact, the end of the book is all God speaking directly to Job. He says there in verses 10, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. How does he know that? From God's word. My foot hath held his steps. How does he know God's steps? God says there's a step. There's a step. This is the way you go. There's a direction. How does he get steps? How does he see the steps? How does he know the direction? God's word. Somehow he has God's word. And his heart is not made soft without the word. In verse 11. My foot hath held the steps, his way, his revealed way, the way that he has showed me in his word, have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He's a speaking God. He's opened his mouth. He has lips and words of communication have come out of it. And I haven't gone away from those words of his lips. There's no softening of the heart without the word. And then he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I feed on his truth. I feed on his promises. I feed on the word of the revelation that he gives me, though he does not have the 66 books as we do. We have a far more laid out table than Job ever had. We have the fullness of the table prepared by Almighty God that we can come to get our daily bread for our souls so that our hearts do not get hard. So we are sure he has the words of God and they are accompanying all the sufferings. It's not suffering alone that makes the heart soft that we're talking about. Pharaoh had the suffering, but he knew nothing about the word accompanying it. Job has the word accompanying it. And that is making the heart soft with that kind of softness that God wants in his people. So the word melts us, congregation. The word is as a fire. Did not our heart burn within us, the apostle said, softening us, melting us? Is not my word like as a fire and as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It can melt us. It can break us down. He sent out his word and melted them, the psalm says. And so we need the word to make us tender in a Holy Spirit way. The scriptures read and proclaimed are most necessary to humble us and to make us contrite and to make us kind and forgiving. The necessity of the word. And the word does this by many ways. It reveals to us our unworthiness and at the same time reveals to us the loving kindness and the long suffering and of the grace of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing else us like the grace of Jesus when we know we are such unworthy sinners. The gospel melts us. The revelation of a gracious Redeemer melts us. The long suffering of God revealed to us softens us. The sufferings of that one who gave himself for us make us tender. The cross makes us repent. And as we have had forgiveness by such sufferings, in our softened heart, we forgive others. And so a glimpse of Jesus softens us in the word. Remember that Christ denying Peter? He saw Christ. He caught the eye of Christ, and the word that he spoke came to remembrance, and he melted, and he went out and wept bitterly. He experienced the softened heart by the word remembered and brought by a Saviour who loved him even in his failures. And the gracious promises soften us. But it is the word that is accompanied by suffering. Sometimes it's not the word alone. Sometimes the word is not enough. We're so wretched and hard that God must use the rod and other means. And so to aid our suffering, our softening, God sends us troubles. And it's that which Job speaks about. Afflictions accompanied by the word are necessary for our sanctification. Because you see, brethren and sisters, troubles get to the heart. They really get into the heart. They enter in where the word should be going. And they make the heart good ground for the word. They make the heart more alert to the word, more responsive to the word. Just like the farmer has to take the plough and plough up the ground and cut the ground and the spade and the axe to chop it up and to break it all up. And so the seed may go in. And so the Lord has to plough and to send us the troubles. Because we're often careless, aren't we, until God sends them. And whenever we are in suffering, we find that the word becomes more alive. Luther, he himself said that God can only really be found in suffering and in the cross. And he himself found that it was his sufferings and his troubles that opened up the scriptures to him and gave him greater understanding of the word. And this is true, brethren and sisters. I mean, a lifeboy on a boat, you can be on a great ship and the lifebuoys are hanging all over the place and you just notice them. You don't use them. You're happy there to sit on your deck chair and read your novel or whatever. But you see, when the boat's sinking, the lifebuoy's what you're looking. It's what you want. It's what you take hold of. And sufferings are like that. Oh, the world's not important when you're lounging about and it's going rosy. But when you're sinking in the storm, the Word, that life buoy of promises, you grab it then. It becomes real. It becomes ever so useful. And that's why God sends us troubles. Fruit is formed in soil that has been broken. And God must trouble us and soften our hearts. He must take the pruning hook, as the vine dresser does, and purge it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we know that in these troubles that the Almighty allowed him to go through, we know that Satan had a hand in all of that. Satan desired to sink Job in the troubles. But God aimed to sanctify Job in the troubles. Satan aimed to destroy him because Satan hated him. But God loved him. And he softened him by them. He loved him. That's the thing. And he loves us too. When he sends us troubles and sores and afflictions. He loves us and he makes our hearts soft. And he troubles us in his grace. As the hymn puts it, though he may send some affliction, 'twill but make me long for home. For in love and not in anger, all his chastenings will come. So while here the cross I'm bearing, meeting storms and billows wild, Jesus for my soul is caring. Naught can harm his Father's child. And so, child of God, the Lord will soften your heart by his word and also through the troubles that he will send you. He does it in his loving kindness. He will never sink you. He will never allow you to be swallowed up. But he will sanctify you. He will turn what seems to harm us into everlasting joy. And so how is your heart today, child of God? Is God working in it? Are we being made soft in grace through the path of life? May it be so, to his glory and for his great name's sake. Let us pray.